Today on Wings, women tea plantation workers, successful strike in India.
The United Women's Plantation Workers Union has been formally registered and will now take up issues of all workers in the plantation sector, including coffee, cardamom, and rubber.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Women tea plantation workers in the state of Kerala, India, staged an entirely self-organized strike in September 2015. Women form 70% of the tea plantation labor force, but plantation unions had failed to gain them the laborers' minimum wage. Then, new management cut the women's bonuses and the on-site amenities plantation owners legally must provide. Wings producer Smita Ramanathan traveled to Kerala and talked with workers about their successful Women's Unity labor action. She and her team in Bangalore produced this program.
Hello, this is Smita Ramanathan. Today, we are talking about the brew that is a favorite beverage in most countries of the world. We are not talking about the drink that is made by dripping the bag in hot water. We are talking about the real tea, with two leaves and a bud product, grown in huge plantations in India, China, and some other countries.
Sorry, Smita. I thought you were talking about women in tea estates. If it is about making tea, let me go back to my kitchen.
Manju, that was just an introduction. Actually, today's show is about a group of women tea estate workers. The southern Indian state of Kerala, along with the northeastern parts of the country, grows tea in vast plantations. These were started by the British in the very early years of the last century. Women form a large workforce among the workers in these plantations. For five generations, workers in these estates have been toiling at low wages and poor working and living conditions. The unions, dominated as they are by men, had made little difference to their lives and had done little to bargain for workers' rights. More than 10,000 women workers of a large tea company in Munnar in Kerala sat on strike for over 10 days, demanding better wages and bonus. Their struggle is an important milestone in the history of labor movements. The state of Kerala has a strong presence of labor unions, but the women kept the unions away from their strike. They launched their own union, the Pengal Otrumai, meaning Women United. They decided to negotiate directly with the management. I spoke to a few leaders of the union in Munnar in Kerala. With me in the studio are my mentor and friend, the veteran radio activist Indu Ramesh, community radio enthusiast and poet Manju Venkat, research scholar Preeti, and sound engineer M.R. Ramamurthy. Ramamurthy's voice you never hear, but edits all our programs and makes sure they are broadcast worthy. In case you wondered about Manju's comment of her heading back to the kitchen, our studio functions out of Manju's home.
Smita, I am glad that you finally made it to Munnar. Good that you were able to speak to some of the women. I have read that it has been called the Jasmine Revolution. Tell us about it.
Yes, some press reports did call it the Jasmine Revolution. According to the women, it was because it was peaceful. There was no bloodshed. But they did shed tears. When the women told me that, I was reminded of a very popular song in Malayalam, the language of the state of Kerala. Let me play you a clip of the song.
Kannu neer thulli estriyodu bhamicha kavya bhavane abhinandanam ninakabhinandanam vyasano kalidasano adu eeshano shelliyo shakespeareo vyasano Kalidasano, adu eeshano, shelliyo, shakespeareo.
You just heard Shubha Vinay sing a snatch of that song. The singer is paying tributes to the poet who compares a woman to a teardrop. He wonders who that poet is. The singer then goes on to sing about travails faced by women and how, instead of being valued, she is oppressed and exploited by society. But this group of women in Munnar, more than 10,000 of them, they stood up for their value. They did shed tears, but they also stood their ground and waged a battle all their own.
I have been to Munnar more than 20 years ago. It is such a picturesque and serene place. The rolling hills, the tea gardens, the women at work dexterously picking the two leaves and buds that go into our refreshing drink. When I recall the tranquility of that place, I find it hard to imagine that it was the site of such a momentous struggle.
Yes, Indu, Munnar is indeed very beautiful. It is one of Kerala's most popular tourist destinations, attracting visitors from all over India and abroad. However, beneath the undulating hills, the tall trees and the beautiful tea gardens lie tales of exploitative labour. The women who so adroitly pluck the tea leaves put in long and strenuous hours of work for a pittance. Let us listen to Lissy Sunny, the president of the Pengalottramai, talk about the kind of work they do in the tea estates.
This summer,
രാവിലെ
6 മണിക്ക് പോയാൽ 6 മണിക്കേ ഞങ്ങൾ വരാറുള്ളൂ.
12 മണിക്കൂർ സ്ത്രീകൾ.
കാരണം ഞങ്ങളുടെ ഉദ്ദേശം ഒന്ന് ആയിരുന്നായിരുന്നുള്ളൂ, നമ്മൾ അതായത് ഈ ലീഫ് വന്ന് പോകരുത്.
ലെറ്റ് മഞ്ജു വെങ്കട്ട് ഗിവ് അസ് ദി ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് വേർഷൻ ഓഫ് വാട്ട് ലിസി സെഡ് ഇൻ മലയാളം.
ബിഫോർ ദി സ്ട്രൈക്ക് our work used to begin at 6 in the morning and end at 6 in the evening. We worked for 12 hours plucking the leaves. The men do work such as weeding, spraying pesticides. They are paid the same wage as us, but they work only half a day. We work long hours because we have to finish plucking the leaves at a particular time during the season. Else, the leaves will go waste. We pluck the leaves and give them to the employers in time so that they can get it cured and sell to earn a profit. If they do well, we do well. So we never cared about our health and worked long hours. Our wages were only ₹232 per day, which would be about $3.50 today. And this year, our bonus was reduced to 10% of our wages as against the 19% that we were paid last year. So you see, the production is so high and yet our wages are so low, we got exhausted mentally. That is the reason we launched the strike.
Vice President of the Union, Kausalya, spoke about the effects of such strenuous work on their health.
80 kilo minimum kilo njangal thalayil chumanne 3 kilometer dooram vare njangal nadannundu. 80 kilo thalayil appo adu 100 kilo undavo avade kondoy weight eduthu kayumbo.
We have Preeti giving us the English translation. We carry almost 80 kilos of leaves up and down these steep slopes, sometimes walking up to 3 kilometers with our load. As a result, many women have had hysterectomies. We suffer pain in our backs, knees and shoulders. The heavy loads that we carry puts great pressure on our knees and shoulders.
Kannu neer thulli estriyodu bhamicha kavya bhavane abhinandanam ninak abhinandanam.
Smita, Kerala is one of the better off states in India in terms of wages for laborers, as it has had a long history and strong presence of labor unions. And yet, why is it that these women are being paid such low wages?
Yes, Manju, you are right. Labor in Kerala is valued higher than most other states in India. And yet, wages in the tea estates are very low. To understand this, let us look at the history of tea estates in India. Commercial production of tea was started during the colonial era by the British East India Company. They converted vast tracts of land into tea estates and popularized tea drinking in India through a very successful advertising campaign. So successful was their campaign that today India is a nation of tea drinkers and we consume 70% of the tea that we produce.
Smita, what you said about the advertising campaign for tea reminded me of what an older friend told me. She is over 70 years old. She remembers when she was a child, two women used to come to her village, go house to house. They used to make tea for the households. In no time, people got hooked to the drink.
Manju, today, tea estates cover more than 500,000 hectares in India, producing nearly 1,000 million kilos. Most of these estates are in the northeastern states of India, but some are in the southern states. When the British started these estates, they brought in workforce from outside the state. They provided them basic rudimentary barracks inside the vast estates. The laborers who were from neighboring states did not know the local language and had little interaction with persons outside the estates. In Munnar, where the tea estates were established by the British in the 1870s, the workforce was brought in from the neighboring state of Tamil Nadu. Today's workers are descendants of that workforce, and even now many of them speak only Tamil and do not know Malayalam, which is the local language. There is a tea museum in the Nallathanni estate of Munnar, which is where I interviewed members of Pengalurumai. It tells the history of the tea estates in Munnar. I learned that when the British established the estates, they introduced their own currency for use exclusively within the estates. The workers were paid their wages using that currency. You can see replicas of those coins in the museum. Since the currency could not be used anywhere outside the estates, the workers would not leave. They were in effect captives of their employers. They were completely isolated from the world outside the estate. Some activists, in fact, call the estate economy an enclave economy. That isolation continues even today to some extent, and the workers are aware of it. This is what Kausalya has to say about it.
അപ്പോൾ എസ്റ്റേറ്റ് തൊഴിലാളി പാവപ്പെട്ട് ഞങ്ങൾ ജീവിതം പാവമോ എസ്റ്റേറ്റിലെ ലൈൻസിലേറിയ മോശം അഞ്ചാറ് തലമുറയായി ഭയങ്കര അതെ വാഴ്വതാരം വന്ന് ഞങ്ങൾ റൊമ്പ കുറഞ്ഞിരുന്നു.
Kausalya said that they are very poor people. They are Tamil speaking people belonging to the very lowest strata of society. And so they do not get much support from the locals.
Tell me something. It seems to me that wages in the tea estates are lower than those in other sectors. Why is this so?
You're right, Manju. Tea workers are paid lower wages than any other workers in the organized sector. In spite of the Government of India having a Plantation Labour Act to safeguard the economic and social rights of the tea estate workers, often these workers live in poor conditions. In the northeastern parts of India, where the majority of the tea estates are, the wages in the tea estates are less than the minimum wages stipulated by the government. I have been reading reports of starvation deaths among tea estate workers in those parts of India. In Kerala, even casual wage labourers earn more than what the tea workers are paid. In Munnar, the workers' wages had not been revised since 2011.
Most of the tea workers are women, are they not? I'm guessing that this also has something to do with depressed wages.
Yes, Manju, I think so too. There are more women than men in the tea estates. In Munnar, of the 12,000 workers of this particular company that struck work, 7,000 are women. Compounding the gender discrimination is the fact that they are also descendants of indentured labourers brought in by the British more than a century ago. Those labourers were uprooted from their native lands and planted in an alien land. Their geographical, political and cultural alienation continues even today. When I went to Munnar, I felt I had left my native state of Kerala and travelled to the neighbouring state of Tamil Nadu. The language spoken on the streets is Tamil, which is the language of Tamil Nadu. I saw many posters and banners in Tamil, and the temples have a distinct Tamil architecture and not the local Kerala architecture. I asked them how they launched the strike.
കഴിഞ്ഞ വർഷം ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് 19% ബോണസ് കിട്ടി. ഈ വർഷം അത് 10% വെട്ടിക്കുറച്ചു. ഉൽപ്പന്നം കൂടുതല്, തൊഴിൽ കൂടുതല്, ശമ്പളം കുറവ്.
Let us listen to Manju giving us the English translation.
Like I told you, we were plucking more leaves, but our bonus was cut by half. When we asked the company why it was so, they said they are under loss. We told them, show us your profit figures, not your loss figures. At that point, Rajeshwari, the general secretary, intervened to say that one of the slogans of their strike was just that. Show us your profit figures, not your loss figures. We also have very poor living conditions. We could not take it anymore. And so we decided to strike work.
And why did they not approach the unions for help?
That is what I asked them. This is what Lissy had to say.
അതായത് പണയക്കടയിൽ കൊണ്ടേ സ്വർണം പണയം വെക്കണമാതിരി ഞങ്ങളെ ഒരേ വർഷത്തേക്ക് ഞങ്ങളെ പണയപ്പെടുത്തുകയാണ് കമ്പനിക്ക്. അപ്പോ കമ്പനിയും ഇവരുമായിട്ട് കോംപ്രമൈസ്.
We have Preeti telling us in English what Lissy just said. The unions cheated us. Our grouse is not against the company, but against the unions. Just like how you pawn gold, they pawned us to the company year after year. Every year, the unions and the company arrive at a compromise, and we are not paid our just wages. We are the laborers. We work hard, produce for the company, and the company pays us. Why should the union speak on our behalf? That is the reason we don't want the unions.
What Kausalya said was that they have been working in these estates for 5 generations. They had great respect for the unions initially. When the union leaders came, they would bow down before them and do exactly as they were told. But in what way has it helped them? The workers continue to be poor and deprived of basic facilities. She says they feel cheated more by the unions rather than the company itself. The General Secretary Rajeshwari spoke about the difference between the negotiations made by the unions and by the women themselves.
5 ரூபாய், 4 ரூபாய், 3 ரூபாய் கூட்டி இருக்கு. அப்படி தான் கூட்டி கொடுத்தாங்க. இப்பல ஒற்றை அடிக்கு 69 ரூபாய் கூட்டியத பொம்பளை உரிமை.
சமரத்துக்கு
அப்புறம் பெண்ணுல சமரம் செஞ்சு ஜெயிச்சத 69 ரூபாய் கூட்டி 301 ரூபாய் சம்பளம்.
We have Manju giving us the English translation of what Rajeshwari said.
Earlier, during meetings of the Plantation Labour Committee, where wage negotiations take place, our wages were only increased by 5 to 10 rupees every year. If they had negotiated a better raise, our wages would have been high by now, over the years. Now, after the strike, when we negotiated ourselves, we have got a raise of rupees 69, a little more than a dollar, in one stroke. That is the power of this women's union. Our working hours are now from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening.
As per Indian law, wage negotiations between workers and management can happen only through a registered trade union. Since the women found their interests were not being adequately represented by the unions, they decided to form their own union and negotiate directly with the management. The Pengal Orumai Thotam Thoilali Union, meaning the United Women's Plantation Workers Union, has been formally registered and will now take up issues of all workers in the plantation sector, including coffee, cardamom and rubber. I asked them what their plans for the future are. Let us listen to Kausalya talk about it.
അപ്പം നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി നമ്മ ഒരു പാർട്ടി ഉണ്ടാക്കിയാലേ അതൊക്കെ അടിപ്പടയില്ലേ. ഇപ്പം ഞങ്ങൾ വലിയ നേതാക്കന്മാർ അങ്ങനെ ഒന്നും ആരും ചിന്തിച്ചിട്ടില്ല. ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് എന്തെങ്കിലും ഒരു ആവശ്യമുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ മൊത്തം ഞങ്ങൾ തൊഴിലാളി മൊത്തം വിളിക്കും.
We have Indu Ramesh giving us the English translation of Kausalya's words.
We are all very poor and live wretched lives. We do not have proper housing. You must see our houses. They are in bad shape. We live like animals here. We will ask the government for housing sites, houses. We want to work like a political party. Whatever demands women have, we will call all of the women and discuss. We will not run after any political party. We will speak for the rights of the women and all workers in the plantations, not just tea estate workers. Whatever problems women workers have, we will intervene and solve it, even at the cost of our lives. Because we have all suffered so much, we want to tell all the workers that we are with them.
Lizzie also said that they plan to agitate for better rights for workers. They plan to prepare a memorandum to demand housing sites and houses for all workers in the estates. Kerala is a state which has seen many land reforms. As a result, even the very poor have at least a bit of land on which to build a house. However, the tea workers who live in dilapidated quarters provided by the company do not own even an inch of land. The demand of the government is to be provided sites and houses of their own. They are also negotiating for a future increase in their wages. They are ready to take their fight all the way to the state capital of Trivandrum if their demands are not met.
I asked them how they registered the union, and they said they had the support of a lawyer, Biju, who helped them pro bono with all the legal formalities involved in registering a union. They are extremely grateful to him for his support. They faced a lot of opposition from the union leaders for going on strike in defiance of the unions. When I asked how they could go on in the face of opposition, they said it was because of such kinds of unexpected support. They said they were also grateful to the press for extensive and sympathetic coverage of their strike. The police offered adequate protection to the striking workers. I asked specifically about the police support, and this is what Lizzie said.
അത് ഞങ്ങൾ സ്ത്രീകളായോണ്ട് ഞങ്ങള് പാവങ്ങളായോണ്ട് ഞങ്ങളെ കാണുമ്പോൾ തന്നെ അവർക്ക് പാവത തോന്നും.
Let us listen to Manju giving us the English translation of what Lizzie said.
Because we are women and because we are poor, they had sympathy for us. They know how little we earn and they felt sorry for us. They wondered how we manage to live on such low wages. How can we make a living on $3.50 a day? We have to educate our children, eat. How can we do all that? That is why they were on our side. And then there was no violence. We did not indulge in any violence at all. Our strike was very peaceful. There was no violent incident. We protested very peacefully. That is why they supported us. Let us also listen to Kaushalya.
പതിനയ്യായിരം തൊഴിലാളി ഒറ്റ കെട്ടാ സമരം ചെയ്യുമ്പോ പുറയിലെന്താ ആരെങ്കിലും ഒരു കല്ലെടുത്ത് എറിഞ്ഞാ സമരം പൊടിയും, പ്രശ്നം ഉണ്ടാകും. അത് അവര്
When tens of thousands of workers are on strike, if even one person throws a stone, it's enough to break the strike. It will cause great commotion. The police saw to it that no such thing happened. They were watchful. So, our strike was successful. It was peaceful, so it was even called the Jasmine Revolution. We would come in the morning, shout slogans and shed copious tears while doing so, because we have been suffering so much. We did not write these slogans or prepare it. It came from our hearts. So all our sufferings came out in our slogans. We cried while shouting slogans. All of us cried. Looking at us, even the police cried. Everyone who heard us cried. We cried so much we created history. These women are talking about external support, Smita. I cannot help but wonder, did they have the support of their menfolk? Did their families oppose their move or did they support them?
I had the same thought, Manju. Towards the end of the interview, I asked them that. And this is what Lizzie had to say in response. She said, "Yes, our men folk supported us. See, even today we left home at 8 in the morning and we have not gone back yet, though it is so late. We have not cooked anything or eaten anything, but our people are not complaining. They will eat leftovers or manage somehow. They also want this movement to be taken forward."
I also heard Kaushalya say, "When we were sitting on strike, my husband also joined. Her husband and her husband, as she had pointed to the others, also came. Many of our men came and sat with us. Many of us came in pairs. On some days, they formed a human wall around us to protect us, protesting women, from those who opposed our strike."
As these women narrate the story of their tears and how they turned their tears into their strength, I was reminded of another popular Malayalam song, a song about the goddess bearing an anklet in one hand and a sword in the other, challenging the Lord to a game. Let us listen to a clip of the song in the voice of Shubha Vinay.
Kailendi tamburati nallachan thirumunachan kale kale tudangi
anganangane
innu njanum marannidam nallachanu marannidam maranniduga sreedana mudala vereyundu
anganangane palivala bhadra vatagam.
The Pengal Oruma Union has now started enlisting members. They have already enlisted 2,000 members and this will go on. They also plan to launch a political party and intend to field candidates in the upcoming elections to the Kerala State Assembly. As their political aspirations grow, let us wish them luck and hope that they continue to use their newfound skills and power to represent their constituency of women workers. Even as there are reports of attempts at breaking the union and co-option by existing political parties, let us hope that like the armed goddess, these women are able to take on any lord in any game. I'm sure your next cup of tea will remind you of these women workers in the tea estates of Munnar. This is Smita Ramanathan saying goodbye from Bangalore, India with Indu Ramesh, Manju Venkat, Preeti Edakunni, and M.R. Ramurthy.
Goodbye and good listening.
On May 13, 2016, Wings celebrates 30 years of service to community radio stations around the world. To find out more or to hear our programs again, please email wings@wings.org or check our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thank you for recent gifts from listeners Jinx Houston and Laura X. Other faithful supporters include your local community station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose many books include the anthology Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings co-founder and series producer, Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.